When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm trying to elevate small talk to medium talk.
Hi, I'm Alexander Chester, and Av, do you even know how to do a podcast?
And I'm Av Sinensky, and I certainly hope I don't find any of you in violation of the Av Avi rule.
Welcome back to Pretty Good, a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. We are here today to discuss Season 12, Episode 1, Atlanta, which originally aired on February 4th, 2024. That's yesterday for when we're recording. Curb is back, season 12, the final season, they say, although every interview I saw with Larry, and Larry has been really, you know, getting around, every episode I saw is mostly just people saying to him, you're not really done, right? Like, you're going to come back again.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like leaving it open, though, because like Jeff Schaefer is willing to say to anyone basically that like Larry always says it's the last season.
So. Yeah, but this is all just wishful thinking on everyone but Larry's part.
I think, but he's
pretty old.
No, he's for sure old. Yeah. And I do think it's probably the final season. But they also like are basically saying like they made this the final season because they came up with what they thought was like a funny idea to end the final season. So like that's not like permanent.
Yeah. So what are you putting odds that we're getting a season 13?
No, I still think it's less like more likely final than not.
Yeah, I think it's definitely final.
Yeah, I think almost definitely final. But like the reasoning they're giving for why it's final is not because Larry's getting old and he doesn't want to do this anymore. It's because we came up with a good idea.
I haven't actually heard that. So you've heard that it's because they are excited about their finale idea?
I saw in an interview, I think with Jeff Schaefer in the Hollywood Reporter or something, and he literally said, like, Larry came up with an idea, or he came up with an idea, they came up with an idea together, I don't remember exactly the etymology, and one of them said, like, oh, that would be, like, such a funny way to end the season, and the other one's like, but that would be an even funnier way to end the series, and they're like, good, done, ending the series.
Oh, okay, because I've seen on all these aforementioned interviews, Larry says, I'm really fucking old.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. Yeah, he's been on like every single not just like talk show, like night talk shows, but he's there at day talk shows. Yeah, he's really shown up everywhere.
He's been everywhere.
Podcasts.
But
he turned us down.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't ask. The truth is, we should have asked. We didn't even ask.
Exactly. Yeah, he's probably very upset about it. His return to pretty good.
If anything, we should have learned is that celebrities don't come on your podcast if you don't ask them.
Yes, you miss 100% of those shots. That's for sure.
Now,
all right, should we jump into the new?
Turns out you miss close to 100% of the ones you do try.
Yes,
these days. But what are you gonna do? Easier
than they were during COVID.
Yeah, I think that turned out to be a big factor. Respect, but what are you gonna do? We don't have as many guests as we used to. It's just me and you, so. Mm. If you're listening to this, it's probably because you like us.
Yeah, I can let my hair down. I don't always love guests. Guests are you take a risk, you know.
Yeah. Although speaking of podcasts, there is a new podcast around here. Also seeming to be getting much more buzz, much more press. They got like a promo right before the episode. This other podcast.
Yeah. Now, let me ask a question. Did you ever ask Max if they would do a promo for Pretty Good right before season 11?
I didn't. You're right. Okay. Good point.
So, yeah.
They probably asked. Yeah. So Jeff and Susie asked, and we didn't. So they got the promo.
Yeah.
And now it's probably too late because they already asked first.
Yeah. Now we are discussing a home and home with Jeff and Susie, so we'll let you know.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes. Listen to their podcast first. You'll see if we show up on theirs first.
Yeah, okay. All right, so are we ready to jump into season 12?
Let's jump the final season to season 12, episode 1.
Yeah. Now, just before we start,
yes,
I just want to note that this is my favorite show. I love this show, you know, more than just about anything. I'm elated to have it back. And criticisms, or what sounds like negativity, is relative to the overall production of this show, not relative to other media, television, etc.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, and like we haven't even really talked globally. I mean, like, this was awesome to just have back on TV. Like, as soon as I heard those chords following the HBO buzz, I was like ecstatic. I was grinning ear to ear to hear those chords of music, to see Maria Sofia's face appear on the screen and just be like back in this world again, knowing that we'd be seeing Larry again, seeing Jeff, seeing the whole gang, and that we'd be getting 10 new of these that like we've just like never seen before. Anything could happen. It's Curb. Like literally anything could happen. And I'm just so excited. I'm excited to talk about what we saw last night, and I'm sad that there's only 9 more of these probably. So we're gonna cherish every one of these, even if sometimes with a little bit of tough love. I know that I'm expecting some of that from you tonight. but listen, there's only 120 of these there in the whole world, so we're gonna be nice to them for the most part, and we love them all. So one down this week, 9 more to go. Let's do it. Season 12, episode 1, Atlanta. As I said before, we start off with this kind of like a cold open. Where we learn that young Larry has essentially been a big hit, mostly off the back of Maria Sofia, who is a global sensation now. She is like basically like an A-list celebrity. She's on the cover of magazines like Vogue, People. And we cut to her appearing on Jimmy Kimmel, where she's just like still just like 100% in character, just like riffing all the time. And she tells us that like, yeah, the show has a script, but like mostly I just say whatever I want. I put my own spin on things.
Let me ask you a question. 1 second into the episode, as soon as we see the first, Variety cover, what was your sort of emotional reaction to seeing like that's where we were starting the season?
I kind of was not thrilled. I was kind of to hope that this would just be like a fresh thing.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate, but yeah, that's how I felt as well. I was looking a little bit to moving on. Oh, and I felt the same way with Irma when she appears in the next scene. And I knew that, I'd seen the trailer, I'd read, I knew what this was coming, but it was still, a little disappointing. I don't particularly love either character, Maria Sofia or Irma, even though I know I'll be canceled for not loving Tracy Ullman, who's very good. Just the character is very annoying, which is the point. But
yeah, so I would say I really thought these were both great characters in season 11, and thought that I was really on board for both of their arcs, and
but it wasn't like the fuck man or Leon. I didn't need.
Yeah, but them. I didn't need either of them to carry over season 12. I was perfectly fine to see both of those having a series wrap on them, and they ran their course with stories that wrapped up as far as I knew.
Now one of our eagle-eyed viewers noticed that Maria Sofia's dad is sitting, I think that was Gromley, or Gorlami. Gorlami, as some pronounce it. So Maria Sofia's dad sitting right behind Susie in the audience of that award show. And in a still from a deleted scene, we see that he and Larry actually got into it in the audience.
Oh, really?
So we'll have to find out what that's about, or maybe it comes back in a future episode. But it seemed like it was the same. They were wearing the same things. Susie was wearing the same ridiculous outfit. Maria Sofia's performance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, by the way, this is Jimmy Kimmel's second time on Curb, I believe. First appeared.
Yes, the Fatwa.
Yes, 7 years ago, 3 seasons ago.
I believe was Larry on Jimmy Kimmel when he learns about the Fatwa?
He earns the no. He learns about it on the phone, doesn't he? He earns it by going on Jimmy Kimmel. But Maria Sofia's performance reminds me of the time on Friends, spoiler alert for a possible future of that podcast, which is this podcast, when Joey's dismissive of the writers of the soap opera he's starring on in the interview in the magazine.
Yes, I thought of that too.
Yeah. And so they're like, fuck you, we're going to write you off the show.
Right.
Obviously Maria Sofia doesn't have that risk because of the leverage her dad has on Larry, leverage which apparently never expires.
No. The leverage is irrelevant.
Now she's a superstar. Leverage.
Yeah, they remember the tape goes into the producers at the end,
They could love the interview where it looks like she's mock fighting.
Yeah, but obviously she's a big hit.
Until they meet her in real life and realize, oh, she wasn't mock fighting. She's a psychopath.
Apparently not, though, because she's a big hit. Whatever she's doing is working. This is some crazy accidental producers.
So here's my question. So doesn't that mean, good point by you there. So doesn't that mean that her dad was actually right and Larry was actually wrong? Larry owes his dad an apology.
I guess, like, clearly she has some quality that everyone except for Larry and Jeff and the viewers and Cheryl are seeing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So. Now it is a little curious to me. You know, as long as we're talking about this successful show, Young Larry, our South African billionaire, our African billionaire friend Michael Fouché, we will learn later, is a fan of Young Larry. You know, willing to pay $1 million, whatever it is, for Maria Sophia and Larry to show up at his party. What did he want the actor playing Young Larry in addition to Maria Sophia? Okay, maybe he wants Larry also. In fact, as long as we're going out of order, when they're having their Truth and Reconciliation meeting, he will say he will declare that Larry was his childhood hero.
Uh-huh.
So whatever, we can get to that when we get to that. But yeah, yeah. I got a lot of questions about it.
All right. So yeah, why don't we dig in when we get with the
But anyway, it is very weird how the only thing that we know about Young Larry is that Maria Sophia, who plays a supporting role as Young Larry's love interest, is very popular.
Yeah, yeah.
We know nothing else about the show.
Yeah. So yeah, so we get reintroduced in scene one to Maria Sophia, and as you mentioned in scene two, we get reintroduced to Irma Kostrowski. And we start out with, like, you know, Larry is doing his crossword, and he's interrupted by her coming down the stairs singing the very annoying J.G. Wentworth jingle. Were you familiar with this jingle?
Well, everyone in the world is familiar with this jingle. What my question
is... I didn't know if it was, like, a regional thing or whatever.
Well, my question is, you know how, like, over the last several weeks, there's been, like, the viral meme of the Eminem 8 Miles scene, but instead of him singing his rap song, he's singing this? Now you're not responding, so you haven't seen it. I've seen it approximately 474 times.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I'll send it to you. The point is that it times up perfectly when he's sort of rapping and then the crowd reacts. And so it looks – anyways. So I was about to speculate, but it landed flat on you, that perhaps that was all some secret, like, Curb-inspired social media as a way to get us excited for this episode. Because I was like, boy, J.G. Wentworth has never been bigger than he's been, like, right now.
Yeah,
not for you. So,
and then Larry's gonna endorse J.G. Wentworth at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Yes, it's all part of the conspiracy.
Yes,
I got it. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So yes, this is just about the most. The only thing that's more annoying would be, like, the Cars for Kids, which Family Guy already made fun of.
I would say more annoying is the fact that I made a reference that I thought everybody knew and you didn't. So I'm going to
others might know.
I'll just share it for 1 second, just so that you can see it. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
You can see my screen.
I see your screen.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth. That is very good.
Yeah. So that's been all over, like, right now. And then Larry comes out with this.
J.G. Wentworth having a moment.
Yes, exactly.
J.G. Wentworth does not count.
Now, the difference is that Irma goes to the sort of the deeper cut of the second line, the second verse. She goes past structured settlement, right? She goes to annuity, or what's the next
line
she
says? Annuities.
I didn't even know that one. Now, I have another question. So Larry is stuck with Irma, we're about to find out, because when she fell off the wagon at the very end of last season, which, for those who don't remember, is because Larry stole her Holocaust-killed grandfather's Holocaust shoes from the Holocaust Museum, and this drove her to the bottle. This is a repeat of the plot we already had with Loretta Black.
Yes, I have that, yeah.
And Larry went to great efforts to try to get her to break up with him, since he couldn't break up with her because of her, in that case, physical illness. Although, you know, alcoholism is an illness. So why doesn't Larry try and get Irma to break up with him here?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it'd be repeating a plot.
Because she's probably just, like, so pathetic that...
yeah. Well, so is, in theory, someone with cancer, but Vivica A. Fox...
Vivica A. Fox had a lot going for her. This woman thrilled to have somebody to go pick up her hammer toe medicine. Yeah.
Wasn't it the misconception that Larry was hitting on Auntie Ray that ultimately led them to leave the house, the Blacks?
Yeah.
So ironically, Auntie Ray reappearing here in this episode, but all water's under the bridge, whether or not his boner was caused by her.
I believe the last time we see Auntie Ray, her final words are, fuck you, Larry David. That's some bullshit.
Yes. Yes. Auntie Ray, phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. So we find out through flashback that Irma's AA sponsor has basically told Larry, you know, you got to do this for 6 months. Mm-hmm.
And we see the sort of the stupid, you know, I mean, it's funny, but it's very stupid. The fact that Larry has like the hard copy of a physical calendar and keeps locked in a desk drawer to right. check off one day each day.
Yeah.
Although, as you noted, I think in our group chat, in our pretty good group chat, it was also helpful as a way to let us know it's November 1st, by the way, because that'll come relevant later.
Oh, I didn't say that, but yeah.
Somebody else said that then. Yeah. No, I gave you the credit.
Yeah, credit to somebody.
Yeah.
So Larry goes out to the car. And he's trying to use Siri to give him directions to the restaurant that they're trying to go to. Westlawn Restaurant, I think it was called. So Siri's not working. I'm sure many people have experienced it like this. This seems like a little bit late to do this. And like we'll get into like the phone, the accidental dial as well. Both of these seem like very dated technological mishaps. Mm-hmm. But in any event, this was still very funny, I think. If anything, this was probably one of the funnier scenes of the episode, just like Larry like yelling at this Siri, because like we've all been there, but just like watching Larry David and his vocabulary here is just so perfect. And he's angry that like she's misunderstanding like the curses that he's using at her.
Yeah, I said cut, not bud cake. Yeah. No. Obviously, you know, after one fail or two fails, it's a lot faster and easier to just type in the damn words rather than going apeshit yelling at a phone. Especially if you're already driving, it's one thing. It's not easy to stop and type. But Larry's just sitting in his parking lot. But whatever, it's still funny.
Yeah, so I'm a little more behind the scenes. This was also from that Jeff Schaefer interview. He said that he was actually the one playing Siri there. He was on the other end, and then they converted his voice to Siri.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so like he was like I just was the one who had to like come up with like annoying things to frustrate Larry.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true, because it's not written necessarily, but Siri is not good at improvisation. Or maybe she is.
Lodge.
Yeah.
Okay, so one way or another, maybe Larry eventually gives up and types it in with his fingers like a regular person. How do you do it with your hands? so he gets to lunch, and we are like we're getting like a classic like expository dump from Susie here. She's like, I can't believe that a wealthy African is inviting you to his house in order to meet you for his birthday.
Can we talk about her outfit in this scene?
We can. I have it copied and pasted into my document here.
Even by Susie standards, this is Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this is truly fantastic. I don't even know how to describe what she's wearing.
It's also, I mean, maybe not like the color and style scheme per se, but like the idea of wearing like a spaghetti strap top on top of like a sleeve top, and then like the hat. There's also like Orthodox vibes to all of this.
Yes. My wife said as she's watching, she's like, Susie looks very frum in this dress.
I mean, the ugliest frum woman of all time. Stylistically, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Herself, I think she would look, pretty. She'd fit in pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this wavy zebra print with like
the
yellow
limest
lace.
Of lime greens.
Oh, it was green? I viewed it as yellow, but I guess it's somewhere in between.
What color is this dress? You remember that pop culture phenomenon?
Yeah.
Just not sure.
Oh, I thought you were asking your wife what color the dress was.
Oh, no, I was just making a reference.
Got it.
My wife has been asleep for many hours.
I hear you. Fine. So, basically... we find out that really what's most of interest is that Maria Sophia is also coming, and like, and now Leon's gonna go, and then Auntie Ray and the whole deal. And we, you know, have Larry going on his whole spiel about like, listen, like I'll do it, but like there needs to be some ground rules. Like there's not gonna be any speeches, there's not gonna be any stand-up comedy. Like I can promise to be cordial with the guests, and like that's really it. Like I'll mingle, I'll be cordial. And Susie's like, cordial? Like, do you even know how to be cordial? Jeff's like, I don't think you do. And Larry's like, well, I could try.
Yeah. He says, and the funny thing is, like, I didn't really make much of this scene or this specific dialogue on the first watch.
Uh-huh.
But obviously on the rewatch, you're like, oh, this is completely foreshadowing, right? Like, he says, can you be cordial? I don't think I can, but I'll try. Well, you can't.
Yeah. And these are the terms that he set. Like, these weren't even thrust upon him. He chose cordial.
The very terms.
Yeah. He chose that as like the the clause definition, right? Essentially, in the contract.
Let's talk about the terms of this contract for one second. What kind of shitty deal is this for that Jeff gets Larry? He doesn't get paid first, or at the very least, a deposit, the money put in escrow. Like he just gets nothing if at the end of it, some rich asshole decides that he wasn't cordial enough.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you, I've
got some better lawyers.
I've done some of these deals with, like, you know, influencers on the other side.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of money up front before they get shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I've never heard of any of these people. So the guy who invented Young Larry is getting a retainer at the very least. Let's talk about, like, what is the amount of money that gets Larry David off his ass here? Because, like, this is, like, so out of character for Larry this shit. And he has so much money.
Yeah. So I went with $1 million. That's the number in my head.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, but I have to remember that the Larry David in the world of Curb is not the Larry David in our world, right? We don't know for sure of anything he's done since Seinfeld other than the Seinfeld finale, which he quit on in the middle.
Right. But when we say
then,
that.
And then an episode of a Broadway show.
Okay. But does then that include that for some reason Seinfeld in this world did not have the same level of success in syndication in like the 2000s and beyond?
No, he's still as rich.
Okay, he still is rich.
Yeah,
he's just not as famous.
He's maybe not as rich, but he's effectively as rich. Yeah,
he's not remotely famous, basically, at this point.
Yeah, he's famous
like among other show business types in LA,
like Phil Rosenthal. He's similar to him, maybe. Yeah,
right. Yeah, maybe he's a little bit more famous because of the fatwa.
Yeah, that's true. He had a fatwa against him. Yeah, yeah, he's done a lot of stuff actually.
Yeah. But he's not nearly as famous as Larry David, who did Curb Your Enthusiasm and hosted Saturday Night Live a bunch of times. Yeah. So they start to realize that they've been sitting and waiting for a long time. Classic Curb fodder here, right? Like, we're not happy with the service in a restaurant. Yeah. And we want to find out why is it taking so long. And we find out from one of the other servers that their server is distracted today. He's not doing his best work because his mom just died a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, but like, then why is he here? Like, he should be home mourning. Like, if he's here, he's here. And like, what does that leave us? And now we can't get our food. We can't even complain. And Larry points out we have to give this guy a condolence tip now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lose, lose, lose.
Lose, lose, lose. I was looking at this guy and I was thinking, I feel like I recognize him. Who is that? Why do I think I've seen him before? Yeah. I go on IMDb. His name is Adam Lustig. So I know a guy with that exact same name and then a bunch of guys who look like this guy, basically. But like in real life. But I don't think I know this guy.
Oh, you don't know him. Okay.
Yeah.
You're sharing your screen with me, by the way, still. I don't know if that's intentional. So if you're going to put on any sort of like weird pornography.
Yeah.
When you get
boring, I stop doing that.
Okay. That's fine. Just letting you know.
Just letting you know.
You don't want to show me your financial statements or something. I have no idea what the hell you're doing over there. Yeah, I did notice at one point you had like you were looking at emails, but like I was in the middle of talking, so I didn't want to interrupt. But now you can just cut this all out. I was in a rhythm.
Sorry.
I was like, I have to avert my eyes and not read his emails. And also, they looked very boring. If it was like an email, I'd be like, why I hate Av? I probably would have read it.
Yeah. Well, I just use a code for those emails.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
So Larry is, can sit at the table and he's like, oh, Jeff, that's interesting. Your hair is a little darker. What's the deal with that? At first, Jeff is like trying to deny it. And Larry's like you insane person. Like, I'm aware that for the last whatever number of months, your hair was gray. And now today, all of a sudden, it's magically brown. Like, you can't just gaslight me here. Mm. And like, Jeff finally said, okay, fine. I dye my hair because like, I want to.
Yeah.
And Larry's like, clearly Susie's behind this. And Susie's
he calls her Lady Macbeth, which is phenomenal.
Lady Macbeth, yes. And he's like, Susie's like, Jeff, tell Larry that you wanted it. Like, this is 100% you.
It's very well
like, I remember when I was young, my dad told me a joke about that this guy dies and he goes to heaven and there's like two lines. And the lines are like one line, like the sign says, like, when I was on earth, my wife told me what to do. And the other line says, when I was on earth, I told my wife what to do. And the guy gets there and he sees everybody's on the my wife told me what to do line, except for one person. And the guy goes with them. He's like, how did you end up on this line? What's your deal? And he says, my wife told me to stand on this line.
Yeah. That was a very rabbi joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
In my case, it was a dad joke.
Yeah. Dad's
I thought that was a hilarious joke.
Yes.
I would tell that to all my friends.
Yes. The classic rabbi joke is
the classic 9-year-old telling wife jokes.
Oh, at the end of the wedding ceremony, in Jewish weddings, the man traditionally steps on a glass and breaks it to remember to in this moment of joy a momentary mourning for the loss in Jerusalem, not the October 7th loss, the 2,000-year-old loss. And every single rabbi makes a joke. This is the last time you got to put your foot down.
Oh, I've actually never heard that.
No. Well, I've never heard of anything tonight.
It's a good line. I like that. I'm going to use that.
All right, okay, yeah. It won't be original.
The next wedding, about it, right before he does it, I'm going to call out from the crowd.
Yeah.
And interrupt.
Yeah, okay. I hope about that one.
Yeah. So finally the guy, he's walking towards their table with the food. That's always the great moment in the restaurant, right? Right? Where the guy's walking with the food. You're like, oh, is he coming to our table or their table? Like, comes out there, like, you're like, yeah! Our table, woo!
Yeah,
but if they go to the other table, you're very disappointed and sad.
Yeah,
for like 90 seconds, and then you get food. But the problem is the guy gets interrupted by one of the other tables who want to wish him their condolences.
Which is weird because he hasn't been waiting at that table. Like, how did they just find out right now? Unless that female waiter was going around telling every table right at that moment. Guess what, everybody? Penny's Bob just died.
They come here a lot, so they know Benny and they heard or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, like he stops and he's talking to them and
Jeff, he tells them you only get one mother. To which I say, well, what about a ratio of two mom families here?
Yeah.
I hope Benny's canceled. I'm glad his mom died. He deserves it.
He should have gotten two.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's like a loser with just like, one of these type of parents.
All right. So here's my question. Larry going to take the food from Benny, it's great. It's funny. But we saw Larry do this exact same thing at a restaurant already.
Yeah.
So it's just I feel like there's a lot of Curb repeating itself already.
Yeah. And there's also no consequence for it, which is just it's just, I guess, funny. But
that's whatever. Kind of a problem of a lot of things in this episode. That there's sort of no consequence, disconnected, right? Whether it was scenes that were cut or vibes of the final season of a Game of Thrones, actually.
Yeah, well, they came out with a big story today. We fessing up to their big mistakes. Yeah,
I share that. Oh, you're not in the TV chat, actually, I think, maybe. If you are, you're very quiet.
I'm in several TV chats, if I'm not in this one you're talking about.
The 32 Fans TV chat.
I'm very much in that chat.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, because I just shared that yesterday or today.
I saw it.
Oh.
I was referencing it.
Well, I don't know. You know why? I'm going to blame WhatsApp here because WhatsApp doesn't list unless you click on the group, it doesn't list the members of the group alphabetically. So if I click on the group right now and it shows me who's in the group. Oh, you know what? On my phone, it's different than on my computer. Interesting. On my phone, it says Abe. Abraham, blah, blah, blah.
All right, we don't need to reveal all the members of the groups.
Anyway.
Doxing everybody.
No, but on the TV, it says... When I see who's in the group, it goes, yeah, you're not on the list. It's Adam, Ari, Chance, Garrett, Ian, Jake. So it just shows the highlights, I guess. Interesting. So I thought you weren't in it.
I'm not one of the highlights?
I guess not. The only A's they care about are Adam and Ari. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
All right. I'm leaving the group. Okay. I'm not appreciated there.
Anyway.
I thought I was saying good things.
Yeah. Take it up with WhatsApp.
All right. All right. So we go to the airport. We're in the Delta terminal. We're on our way to Atlanta, and Larry's so what's the deal here? Is Auntie Ray expecting you? And they get into the whole thing about how, no. You can't surprise an old person. You can basically kill them in their tracks. And they get this all back and forth where, Leon keeps saying, you know what I mean? And Larry calls on him. He's like, yeah, of course I know what you mean. What you're saying is very simple. This is not a complicated thought that you're expressing. I know what you mean. Why do you keep asking if I know what you mean?
There was a thing watching this where I feel like, and I watched this with Jen last night on the first watch, there were many scenes where either her or I was sort of out loud saying what we thought was about to happen and then never happened. And one of them was here in this scene, Larry's talking to Leon about how you can't surprise old people. And the whole time I keep expecting Larry to be about to get surprised by someone coming up behind him in the terminal or something like, guess what, Larry, you're old. And so, I don't like this. This
he
is what I'm gonna do.
Was old.
Yeah. But Larry doesn't identify with those, except once he puts the glasses on, then he does at the party, at least with the one lady. But
yeah. So Leon's phone rings, but turns out it's actually Larry butt dialing him.
Yeah.
And Leon complains that, like, he's like, your butt tiles put me in a bad position, which I don't even know what that means. Yeah. I want to know what the story is where, like, Leon got screwed over because his phone rang.
We discussed this in the pretty good chat. And I guess just because I've been working at law firms for so long where they lock your phone. Do you have that also? Like, I don't have the option. I actually don't like how quickly my phone locks, and I've tried to lower it, but I don't have that option. My phone locks immediately, and I can't turn that off. But I realize now from others in that chat that it's just, I think it's a security thing imposed by
it might be. I was using my wife's laptop over vacation. We were away, and it would do that the fastest I've ever seen. It was insane, and I couldn't figure out how to, like, change the
setting. In between letters that you're typing. Yeah.
Not letters, but it's, like, literally being, like, I would be, like, drafting a clause, and, like, I would, like, pause to, like, think about, like, what the next three words should be, and, like, by the time I went back, I had to log back in. Yeah. It drove me mad. It took me, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Everything was very much more difficult. Yeah.
I have another question. Yeah. This guy's so rich. He has his own plane, as we'll hear him say on the phone later. He's offering them an obscene amount of money. You know, he said $1 million or whatever it is. Why are they flying commercial? He can't send a plane for them?
Maybe he sent them a Delta plane.
Okay. we never finished that conversation. So how much is Maria Sophia making? Because even if she's some huge star, she's only been like a supporting character on one show.
I mean, you give her $100,000, she's coming. She'll come.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have that much money.
She might just come for the free ticket and to, you know, get to walk around with her dog.
She should be maximizing her moments.
Yeah.
She should, you know, be cleaning up every gig she can get. Something tells me this whole Emperor Has No Clothes thing is going to come crashing down at some point.
Yeah.
Or not. It's Curb. So they get, you know, they you know, talk about how Leon has never butt dialed because he carries his phone in his front pocket, but so he has actually dick dialed.
Yes.
In fact, he once ordered a pizza with his dick, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
because he ordered it how? Like, there was like a system where you
can cheese, press one. Right, like, you just tell me the type of pizza that you'd like to eat.
A movie phone style ordering system for pizza.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, you'll be fine. You dial the pizza shop, but then somebody said, "What pizza do you want?" And you talk to him. So then you should have been surprised when they brought the pizza.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. Leon's story doesn't check out. So
rare for a Leon story.
So in walks Maria Sophia. She's got her froofed up dog, Pachuca. Leon thinks she is DTM, doing too much.
Larry trying to invent his own. Wait, is that Leon or Larry who says it?
Leon says that.
Leon, okay. Leon trying to start acronyms here.
Yeah, Larry's the one who says that, like, he thinks this whole cottage industry of emotional support dogs is a scam.
Yeah, which, and again, that, like, a little bit old on that one, Larry.
Yeah, if you're that emotionally unstable, they just shouldn't let you on the plane.
Yeah. Not wrong.
They should be letting fewer people on planes, I think.
Yeah. I want more seats in space for myself.
So Leon is like, starts commenting on the fact that he thinks this dog is overweight. I don't know what this whole storyline is about.
It is a fat dog, but
Maria Sophia accuses him of fat shaming, but Larry's like, bullshit. Like, you can't fat shame a dog because the dog doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which I basically agree with. People who are dog lovers, I guess, would say that they can understand tone and stuff like that, probably. Yeah.
Here's my issue. Like, didn't we just have, you know, forget about it in previous seasons, last season with Mary Ferguson's dog, Angel Muffin?
Yeah.
We had Larry and Leon yelling at it and cursing at it.
It wasn't
fat shaming, but.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It was the same thing. You're right. It did ring a bell.
Yeah. But literally last season. Not even like, you know, in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get to Atlanta. We arrive at the hotel. And this very bizarre storyline with Larry and the housekeeper begins. The first thing is, like, she, like, walks in. Like, he's like, housekeeping. He's like, come on in. Okay, fine. I guess that's fine. And she, like, looks around, like, she sees, like, the room is messy, and, like, she does, like, a sigh, and she's like, I'll come back later.
Yeah. Now, what is your my take on this whole story is that it could have worked. It could have been fixed. It's just sort of maybe not executed to the best.
Okay. Right? So how could they have fixed it?
Well, first of all, his room isn't that dirty at all. They need to make it much, much dirtier. Now, he would still be right because, like, I mean, provided he doesn't, like, literally leave piles of shit on the floor and money in the toilet, which he ends up doing.
His basic premise is you're allowed to be a slob when you're in a hotel. Yeah. There's paid staff there to clean. That's their job. Like,
there has to be more of a trigger for her obnoxiousness because she is so obnoxious immediately.
It's irrational.
And as our friend Eric was saying in another chat, in a non-Curb chat necessarily, the premise of the show is not supposed to be Larry is wronged and everybody would agree Larry's wronged and everybody would be on Larry's side, but which is basically the case. It's you cannot be on LaGaia's side right here.
Yeah. I like when he's like, that's the point of a hotel room. You don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. People in my longtime chat, know my thoughts on that topic, but we'll leave it there.
Yeah. He says he is completely bewildered by this whole thing. He's like, I don't even understand this. You should know I'm very considerate of housekeeping. I assure you at the end of my stay, there will be a tip for you.
Yes.
He's like, I don't understand. Is this the first hotel room you've ever cleaned? this is what a hotel is. Yeah. And he's absolutely right. The whole storyline kind of gets off on the note of what is even happening here? So where do we go? We go over to Auntie Ray's house. We haven't seen her in, 4 seasons? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 5 full seasons, right?
Yeah. Why are Maria, Sophia, and Pachuca coming to visit Auntie Ray? That seems like a Leon and Larry thing to do. Maria, Sophia should be hobbing and nobbing with the ATL celebs, no?
You would think, right. But they need to have her there in order to, cause mischief.
Yes.
I guess it's possible they're stopping off in the airport. No, she'd be going in a car, if she wants to go wherever she wants to go, the hotel.
Yeah,
makes no sense. Agreed. So we see that she's wearing a voting sticker, and Auntie Ray talks about how important voting is. There's a big election coming up. And
yeah, I hate to fact check this. there were no statewide elections in Georgia in 2023.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
why would Larry David lie?
Yeah, and it can't be 2024 because then Larry's response wouldn't be, "Oh, I heard about this election vaguely, but as if it's some unusual Georgia election." He'd be like, "Oh yeah, Trump is running for president again." But
why can't it be 2022? Wasn't there a Senate election, Herschel Walker?
Well, no, but 2022 is a long time ago. So this episode, which is airing, usually we assume episodes are airing in real time, the dates that they're released. Except here they mention November. So you think it's 2 Novembers ago? I mean, it's
possible.
I
have no idea. It's not a real election. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. By the way, in 2022, what were the statewide elections in Georgia? We had Raphael Warnock against Herschel Walker, and we had governor as well. Brian Kemp was reelected, over Stacey Abrams. All right, nobody cares. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. okay. Wait, but what were the margins? Why did Brian Kemp outperform Herschel Walker by so much?
Yeah, probably because he wasn't demented and forcing women to get abortions and
other things.
Yeah.
So they get some lunch, and this is when the mischief occurs. Maria Sofia grabs Larry's glasses and brings them over to Aunt Ray to try.
Completely insane behavior. Insane. Yeah. To grab anyone's glasses without telling them, it's completely bonkers. Now Maria Sofia is bonkers, so I guess they can get away with it.
Yes. And Larry says he's furious. He submits that you took those glasses, you placed them on your freakishly large head. And you stretched out my glasses.
Yes. Which is completely accurate. That's what happened.
Yeah. But as it turns out, don't worry, because Larry and Auntie Ray are the same exact prescription.
Yes.
I guess similar enough. He says I could see. It doesn't sound like it's sharp. But so she has these ridiculous cat eye glasses.
Which only a character on Seinfeld would wear. Yeah.
Right. They're ladies' glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, retread material, but that's all right. They do an okay job with it here.
Yeah.
And
this was one of our mysteries of the preseason trailer. So
right. Is what's the deal with the glasses? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back in his hotel, and everyone's like staring at the glasses. They can't believe how ridiculous Larry looks. Whatever, yeah. Fine. This wouldn't happen. Nobody cares.
Also, what I don't understand is why doesn't Larry go directly to a glasses store? And why in his hotel room bathroom does he have that little screwdriver anyway? That's not a thing he'd be traveling with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, like, a glasses store can't really, like, do anything that fast usually.
Yeah. When it's just, like, tightening it or bending it. I mean, to the extent it's fixable, they can fix it in 5 seconds.
Right. If it's
fixable. Unless it's just not fixable, he needs to get new frames altogether.
Right. If he thinks he can do it, then right. If you go to a glasses store. Yeah. It's one of the weird things that glasses stores will fix anyone's glasses for free.
It's all part of the scam, you're saying.
Like when they just need to like be adjusted. Like if you walk into any glasses store, like any like Lens Crafters or Pearle Vision or Cohen's, like one of those
two. And you're saying they shouldn't do it unless you pay them.
Or like if you bought the glasses there. Like that's usually how like businesses operate, right? Like you can't just like walk into any place, like a place with your car and be like, something's wrong with my car, fix it.
Yeah, it's probably a little more expensive than fixing glasses. But
yeah. I mean, it takes them 5 minutes. But like, you go to any of those stores, they will take it back.
I mean, a lot of like, if you take like a piece of jewelry to like a jeweler, they'll like wash it and polish it for you for free. Also,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess those are a similar.
I guess industry. So. Maybe. Yeah. Although they won't fix a watch without charging you. But
right. Jerks! You should just fix it. Why didn't you fix my watch?
Yeah.
So in the course of him fixing his glasses, he thinks that he tightened them enough. He puts them on his face. Lo and behold, he has not tightened them enough. They fall straight into the toilet.
As soon as he starts turning the toilet, I knew it was coming, but I still loved it.
Yeah, and then he does this thing, which is such a stupid thing that always happens on TV and in life, which is that like toilet water is not, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just water.
You've heard the story about when I dropped my phone into a toilet once, right?
Probably.
Okay, so I'm very, this was when I was, this was, I'm very OCD. So anyways, that doesn't matter. But I also once dropped a Keepa into a toilet also when I was I actually remember this. I was like 6. My parents gave me a brand new Keepa. I put it on my head, then I went to pee, like immediately. It fell into the toilet. Yeah. It's very sad when things fall in the toilet. But except for you. The op says I'll stick my head in there, much like the housekeeper. You got no problem with it.
I don't want to, I guess, but like if my glasses fell in, I would grab them out immediately. Like I wouldn't think
you
like,
wouldn't oh, you wouldn't go to get a glove?
I wouldn't go like look in the hallway for someone to come take care of it. I wouldn't get a glove. No, I would take them out. It's just water. It's clean water. Yeah, it's the same water that comes out of the sink.
Yeah, the science museum in San Francisco, I forget what it's called. It's a famous science museum. They have water fountains that are designed to look like toilets. Under the idea that, like, psychologically, it's difficult for people to drink this just because of, like, you know, what it looks like.
Yeah.
Which is more to your point, yeah.
Yeah. No, like, it's you, like, you bathe in the same water. You drape your body in it. If you shower in it.
I mean, if I pooped in the shower. If I pooped in the bathtub, I would be scrubbing the sides of that wall a little harder than the typical flush of a toilet does. Whatever. So I don't exactly agree with you. I don't think it's the same one. I mean, the source of the water might be the same, but the bowl is not the same. But anyway.
Yeah, but it was just, you're in a hotel. It was just cleaned.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Housekeeping was just there. It's completely clean.
All right. I will serve you food for my toilet, okay?
I'm not saying I agree there's a psychological thing.
But it's only psychological. That's it.
You don't want to do it. But
it's a hygienic concern.
But when your valuable product has fallen in, you should just get it. Like, and not risk it.
Risk what? It's going to get flushed out? The glasses are going to, like,
disappear. I don't know. You could pray. I don't know. You should get it out of there.
I'm getting gloves.
Okay, but would you go to the hallway to have someone else? Because you'd be so disgusted by it?
No, I wouldn't have the conversation. Like, while generally speaking, I'm anti-LaGaia in this episode, this one scene, right, is the one where she's not awful. Like, she's right about the glasses toilet request. Like, she's not a forbidden here. Nice little Yiddish word by Larry, by the way.
Well, I still think in the context of when you ask the maid in the hotel to do something like this, it's probably part of their job description to do this.
No, it's not. Go stick your hand in my toilet because I dropped my glasses in there. Go pick up your own fucking glasses, you douchebag.
No.
Oh, I completely...
I think in a hotel, this is what I don't think it's like everyone would ask.
You've
got
way too far, opposite the wrong side of the guy here. Like, what? Can you just ask the housekeeper for a blowjob also? Like, you're in a hotel. You have to do whatever I say.
That's a ridiculous comparison.
Stick your hand in the toilet because I dropped my glass. It's not even like while she's in there working there. Like, you go find her in the hallway. Hey, I took a shit and it really smells. Can you wipe
my
butt?
She's on the floor. She's circulating. She's in the course of tending to this floor.
Completely insane.
I don't agree. Yeah. Obviously, I don't agree. I'm the one saying it.
Yeah.
I agree with myself.
Yeah.
I certainly don't think I'm being insane. I might not. I might not agree with myself, but I definitely don't think I'm. It's that hot of a
time. All right, let us know in the chat if you think it's normal to ask a housekeeper.
I didn't say it's normal
it's
to
acceptable.
Ask.
It's acceptable.
No, but she should still just do it. Like, yeah. Like that's like she would get in trouble if like Larry.
No, she wouldn't.
I think she would.
I think
she's supposed to do this for the guests.
Certainly, I think the hotel would apologize to Larry because fancy hotels will just, you know, as part of the service, no matter what insane things a guest does, they'll be, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. But I don't think she's getting in trouble for, you know, I was minding my business in the hallway. He came and said, can you stick your hand in my toilet because I dropped my glasses in there?
He's like, something fell on the toilet. Can you come help me get it? Like, you have, you know, gloves and stuff.
All right, anyway.
You're a maid. You're beneath me.
Apparently.
No, from Larry's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, for a visitor. Yeah. For a visitor, it means like a meanie. You're mean, right? Sour.
It's not a word that I use. I actually looked it up when a fabricina. What's the definition here? It says,
it's kind of like a bitch, I think.
Yeah, it's I looked this up on Sunday night and I forgot already. A bitter person.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Stubborn. Truculent, grim, dogged, bitter, embittered.
Embittered. Bitter and embittered.
By the way, fun fact, Frau Farbissina is the name of the fictional character in Austin Powers, you know, the German one, the former Dr. Evil lover.
Uh-huh.
Scott Evil's biological mother is Frau Farbissina.
Right. Yes. Who plays her?
Mindy Sterling.
Who is she? Okay.
Yeah, great, okay. Mindy Sterling.
I can picture her. All right.
Yeah. Frau Farbissina in Austin Powers is her top credit on her Wikipedia page. So
that seems right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I recognize her from.
Yeah. She's also in the Goldbergs with Jeff Garlin formerly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good connection. Anyway. All right. So we head to the party. We're going to meet Michael Fouché.
Yeah.
And Larry is very surprised to learn that he's white.
I think we all are.
Yeah, we thought we were getting an African. Turns out it's a South African.
Yes. My mother being a South African, I've heard many stupid jokes over the years. Like, oh, like, do you say you're African-American when you apply to college and things like that? I don't think it's the norm for a white South African to identify simply as African. I think it's certainly a little bit misleading. So.
Yeah, typically you wouldn't. So he notices something is off. He realizes that he's wearing ladies' glasses. And Leon and Larry, they don't like this whole African thing. But Leon's not going to complain too much because he just got invited to what sounds like a sick buffet.
Yeah.
And Michael is so excited. He's like, all my friends are like super excited to meet you, especially Brookie. Like, you're going to love him.
No, her.
Sorry, you're going to love her. Yes. Sorry.
I never really understood, and I don't think we ever find out, why Fouché wants Larry to meet Brookie. Like, who is Brookie?
Yeah, she doesn't seem remotely interested in meeting Larry.
Not only that, she will say to him, Michael insisted that I meet you.
Right.
Which is a very rude thing I'm not going to say.
She's basically coming, I'm like, hi, I'm here as a formality to appease Michael.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about you.
Who I understand has paid you great sums, so you're probably also only speaking to me as a formality. So let's, like, you know, let's get that all out of the open, because this is a normal way for people to behave.
Yeah.
The Brookie is an odd duck. We'll see. So Larry's like, you know, you probably shouldn't have told me that I'm going to love her, because like basically whenever anyone tells me that I'm going to love someone, I always end up not liking them. Yeah. And so he's like, so I'm probably not going to like Brookie. And she's like, he's like, oh, like you should call her Brooke. Her name is Brooke.
What's your batting average on that, by the way?
What do you mean? On what?
If someone tells you before you meet someone that you're going to get along great, or you're going to really like them.
It depends who's saying it. If it's somebody whose opinion I trust, then I think it's very high.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So it's usually high because people, I don't think people would say that, generally say that.
Actually, you know what?
It's not someone's opinion I trust.
I think that's a very good observation you just made. It's the source of the person telling you're going to love the person that's really determinative.
Yeah. That's how information works.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay. Thanks for that explanation.
Yeah. You should just because somebody says something, it's not true.
No, because I can think of in my life, a great example of where they were comically wrong. And it's because the person who told me was an idiot. Not an idiot, more like a social, whatever. The point is their motivations were not good. And then another time where someone told me they were very correct. So,
Yeah, no, no. There's like a lot of people don't understand why people like each other. Like they'll be like, oh, you both like sports. Like you'll just talk about sports. Like, no, that's not how it works. Like they have to have good opinions about sports.
Yeah.
Or interesting takes. Like you could be like, like I like the Bulls. Like that was, what are we gonna talk about? That he likes the Bulls.
Your example of a bad sports fan is a Bulls fan.
No, someone who just like likes the Bulls.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They just like them.
Yeah. A lot of my friends that I'm friends with regionally, like in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Not my closest friends in my neighborhood, but you know, people I'm friends with, but you know, not my are like, yeah, they all have the worst sports takes. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And pop culture too.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you have to like be polite in these circumstances. Yeah. I'm not always polite.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can be. I can try.
Right. Yeah. I usually try. Yeah. So yeah, meanwhile, Maria's just being like completely mobbed by guests while like Larry's getting like stuck in these like horrible conversations.
But so it's sort of funny though, because Larry's like over the top sarcasm is totally missed by I wasn't sure, were they going for the joke of because he's wearing these glasses, he's attracting sort of like old Yenta types?
Yeah.
Is that the joke?
Yeah.
Or was it also like that she's Southern, so she doesn't get his sort of his coastal sarcasm? There was a few ways I thought.
Well, that too. Yeah. But no, but I think he is hanging out with the old ladies because of
glasses. Yeah. But then he does the silent nod with the other lady with the glasses.
With the lady who's wearing the same glasses but in a different color.
Yeah. Well, very different.
Different pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. But
same shape.
Very, very old lady-ish. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we see that Leon goes into the kitchen and helps himself to a piece of cake, which he then immediately realizes he's made a huge mistake because he's peeled off a piece of Michael's birthday cake.
Yeah, and so, this again, Friends reference here. When I mentioned before Joey dissing the writers, we have Ross at the retirement party of I think the Super at his new building.
Uh huh.
Right. He goes to the party with where he's very unpopular and Phoebe's popular. And Phoebe says, here, have some cake and make yourself feel better. And of course, he's just taking the piece of cake from was supposed to be the special cake, and he ruins it for everybody. And it seems obvious here that we're going to get some payoff from Leon eating the cake. But we never get a payoff from Leon eating the cake. He puts it back, gets away with it. But in our pretty, pretty, pretty good group chat, again, we did see a screenshot to confirm that there was a deleted scene where the birthday cake comes back and, the missing piece is noticed and some kind of scandal ensues. But for whatever reason, it was not part of the episode. So edit it out.
Yeah, I think if I recall, it was just like nobody really understands what happens, but like Larry like looks at like gives like a knowing look to Leon. He's like,
we don't know how much the scene was because it's deleted, but we did see a screen.
Yeah, that's the scene that we saw.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my question is, why are there zero employees in the kitchen where all the desserts are? Like a big fancy party like this, you think if all the desserts are being laid out, there'd be tons of staff. Leon couldn't just go in and have his way with these unsupervised cakes as if they were bitches. We didn't discuss the fact that he had a 4.0 APA in high school.
Well, we didn't discuss it. Yeah, that's a pretty high GPA.
APA.
Oh, APA.
Last point average. Yes.
Larry wants to know if when a black man goes to Africa, is that similar to a Jew visiting Israel?
You're there for fucking.
that's what Leslie Leon's take. Yes. You go to Israel for fucking? Yeah.
Why else do you go?
So they decide they're going to plan a bang bang trip, Congo, then Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
So they can tap into each other's homelands.
Yes. Very nice.
And Alex, I would propose to you that upon us reaching the age of 52 and reach our mitzvah for the fourth time, we should go to Congo and then Tel Aviv.
And tap each other's asses?
And tap into those homelands.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to the wife. I'll see what she says about it.
We'll see if we make it to age 52.
Yeah. With good ideas like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's I think better than Englewood, New Jersey.
The Congo, for sure.
Yeah, recharge that's my number three.
Mm. I'm not. Are we going to Republic of the Congo or Democratic Republic of the Congo, formerly Zaire? Right.
I don't know. Are any of them okay to go to? Larry's going to go there. I assume we can.
Well, again, are we going for? Okay, let's see. So to fly from New York City to Indigili, Kinshasa. Democratic Republic of the Congo. I'm just curious what a flight is costing.
I mean, if they call it the Democratic Republic, it has to be good, right?
Yeah, sounds pretty good. I mean, we're barely one of those these days, right? You know what? Prices are very cheap.
Amazing. Love to go somewhere where it's cheap.
Yeah, maybe good, maybe. All right, I'm looking for a trip in mid-June for our for our recharging of the mitzvah, as we do. And let's see, how much is my ticket going to cost? You want to take a guess here?
No, let's get back on track.
All right, okay, yeah. Fair. All right, okay.
So Brooke comes up to Larry, and right away he intentionally refers to her as Brookie.
Yeah.
And she corrects him, and she's like, no, actually it's Brooke. My name is Brooke. And he's like, but I heard other people calling you Brookie. He's like, well, those are my good friends. My good friends call me Brookie.
Mm, yeah.
And he's like, well, how long does it take to become enough of a good friend that one can refer to you as Brookie? And they are, like, in the course of this conversation, they're interrupted by a gentleman named Carl, who calls across the hall and refers to Brooke as Brookie.
Mm, Carl.
Carl.
Such a dork.
So Brooke walks off. She's like, I'm going to escape from the situation. Put these two nerds together.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, one of them is her close friend, but yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is bizarre. So yeah, he's like, so what's your deal? How do you know Brooke? And he's like, well, we met at a dinner party a couple months ago. So Larry's like aghast. He's like, oh, so you met her once before and you've already reached Brookie status? That doesn't make sense. And he tries to explain to this guy that I think you've committed a violation of the Brookie rule.
Yeah. I absolutely love later when he, during the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, when he will start insulting Carl for no reason. Like, Carl's a loser. Carl's a nobody. Why?
Why would he like Carl? Why would you like Carl? Yeah. So, like, do you know any people like this that, like, have this kind of status with their naming?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty common thing to have, you know, one thing that your close friends go with and one thing that
more. No, formally. But to be a Nazi about it.
Well, so I think you are sort of like that with your Av and Avi, was your point that you were saying to me before?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not really exactly that. So I go professionally. I use the name Avi. Basically, everybody else in my life at this point calls me Av. Certainly, everybody who I just only know socially calls me that. My parents still call me Avraham, which is what I was called until I was like 15 by basically everybody. So you know, it's evolved over the years, different things for different purposes.
I would propose that the Brookie is not the Brookie rule is not an Av Avi rule, but it's actually. Well, go. Why do you go to the IMDb page for this episode and tell me what is the full name of this character?
Why don't you just tell me the character?
Right. It is not because I'm going to say it's not an Av Avi rule. It's actually an Alex Chester rule because Brooke is her first name and Brookie is her last name.
Is that what it says?
I mean,
that's not what it means.
It says it doesn't say Brooke/Brookie. It says Brooke. Yeah. Brookie. She's right next to Richard Lewis and Troy Kutzer.
Neither of those people wrote the episodes. I don't know I don't know how official the IMDb.
Okay, Jeff Green, Susie Green, Michael Fouché, and Brookie. So it's in fact her last name that she doesn't like people to call her unless she's very close with them.
That's definitely not accurate.
Yeah.
It means Brooke/Brook.
Nope, her last name is Brookie. She's Miss Brookie.
The card says Brookie.
The card says indeed, yes. IMDb, on this thick topic, there can be no debate. but whatever.
Troy Kutzer was in the episode.
Brookie, whatever you want to call her. Not a lot of redeeming characteristics here.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem apparent from the end that it's just a rule against Larry. There's actually, this is against the Constitution, right? There's a thing in there. I forgot what it's called, but like you can't pass a law that's just like directed at one person.
I just learned. I was in a Talmud class the other day.
Is that a bill of attainder? Is that what a bill of attainder is?
I don't remember. I was in a Talmud class the other day where we were discussing. The rabbi said this object will be deemed ownerless, so that anyone in the world may acquire it except for you. You one guy over there, you can't have it.
Yeah, a bill of attainder is a legislation that imposes punishment on a specific person without a judicial trial. So, like, if we construct a law that's like, oh, if you live at this address and you did this, like, you it's illegal.
And wrong, like, clearly, to get Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Had I known that it was frowned upon to steal the election, I never would have done it.
Yeah, I still would have.
He knew it was frowned upon.
Yeah. We have lots of documentary evidence, yes.
She's like Brooke says that like Carl's a great guy, and Larry's like, no, he's not a great guy. There's nothing great about him. I met him. He's a total dud.
Yeah.
And as, you know, as the guests leave, Michael and Larry exchange what's a very awkward goodbye. And we are to assume at this point that this is an actual goodbye, right? Or did you assume that Michael would return in some capacity?
Well, I don't know if he was returning, but it was very clear that it almost was like usually when you're waiting for a tip from someone, except Larry here's in the reverse role. Yeah, Larry is expecting a check to be handed to him, and right. Michael is he ain't giving it. But at least Michael grow the pair to confront the guy to his face and tell him, yeah, I'm not going to pay you because I think you violated the contract. You weren't cordial.
Yeah. So in a situation like this, I don't think you would ever be giving a check to the guy. First of all, you're like, you're dealing with amounts of money that I think is not check.
Yeah.
And also it's just like the star doesn't like deal with the money.
Yeah, exactly. On either end.
Yeah. But like, a bunch of it should have been paid in
advance. Yeah. Please. It's please, independent contractor, tax purposes.
Yeah.
That's a Seinfeld reference.
So yes, it is. Very much indeed. So we are back in the hotel, and the dog Pachuca slobbers all over Larry's pants, the very pants he was going to return. Mm. And
we need this to happen because we need a reason for Larry to take off his pants and use the air dryer, but also take all the things out of his pants, which fortunately includes a $10 bill.
Yeah. Well, I speak to no one wearing pants, so he has to do it anyway. So
good, because they were basic anyway.
Yeah. So then we have this like bit that like I thought was gonna be funnier than it was. Like I was excited by it when it started because like I thought it would, you know, this was like very much a Curb thing with like the hotel employee that like wants to escort you somewhere. We're like, no, just like tell me where to go. Like I'll be fine.
I thought they were gonna go sort of like the Zachary Levy, the great bellhop role in the New York City hotel in season 4, right?
The or something, scene. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I was very confused by the awkward silence. Usually, the dentist type, as you were saying, loves to chat his head off. So, are you enjoying your time in Atlanta? Da 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 da. And instead, they just walked completely awkwardly.
And they're walking so slowly, which of course they're doing like to film, but like it was like so noticeably slow.
It was very strange. Like this episode didn't have to be 35 minutes; could have been 34 minutes and 42 seconds. You know, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, and nothing happens from it. Like
literally
nothing. He could have just walked and seen the sign that said, like he could, like the guy could have given him directions. It didn't. Yeah. It didn't affect him that he escorts him.
It was.
Very strange, yeah. Something must have been missing here, I think.
Something's missing, all right.
You find out she's been named Employee of the Month, but also it's her last month. So who's to say whether she was deserving or not?
Yeah.
So this is when we find out that Michael has been ghosting Jeff and he doesn't want to pay. And Larry's like, fuck that. I'm going to go to his house. I'm going to make him pay. I'm going to go see him.
His office, but yes. Which is, it seems insane to me that you would want to confront him in person. Now, of course, I'm not Larry David, but and he goes there, and they do make sort of the show of Larry sort of tricking the security guard, quote unquote. But like, you can't get to anyone's office in 2024 without getting past security. You know, a big shot like Fouché, there's multiple layers of security before you can just wander into his office.
Yeah. Although maybe if you're Larry David and like you're like a celebrity, you know, when you're a star, they let you do it.
That's true. Yeah, you just grab him by the that's true.
So this is when, but you know, Michael tells him that he's been in breach of contract. I thought it was going to be because he doesn't take the picture at the pool.
No, because one of the things he specified was no pictures. Actually,
I know, but like that, like they made a whole point of that. They're like they call him for a picture.
Yeah.
And he blows them off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he breached the contract because he wasn't cordial.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you talking about? I was like extraordinarily cordial. I was polite. I was friendly. I didn't tell all of your guests that I really thought that they were assholes. And Larry realizes that his big faux pas was calling Brooke Brookie. He's like, that's what you're going to be about. Which he's like, which is completely ridiculous because even Carl is calling her Brookie and he sucks. So they only met once before.
Yeah.
So this is when, Michael's like, all right, I think we need to have a little bit of a truth and reconciliation committee. I was surprised that Michael didn't try to take Larry to the International Court of Justice. With genocide.
Yeah. I will say, like, for as much of, like, a pretentious douche as Fouché is, he does seem like a nice guy. He's trying to reconcile the issue here, right? I mean, his refusal to pay is obvious assholery, but, like, you know, he seems to melt pretty quickly as soon as the TRC is agreed to.
Yeah. So then, like, what was even? I guess he wants to see that, like, this guy's actually just an asshole. Like, that's basically what Larry's argument. He's like, I wasn't being an asshole.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is, you know, I discussed this earlier on this episode, but like, Fouché calls Larry his childhood hero, which, by the way, during a Truth and Reconciliation Committee to lie, Like, that's the worst time to lie. He can't be your childhood hero. First of all, you're, like, not old enough for him to have been your childhood hero. But, like, unless you were, like, a diehard fan of Fridays in 1980 or whatever. But if Larry was really his childhood hero, he would know Larry's personality. And he would want Larry to be yelling and cursing at people. And he would want Larry to be Larry, not to be this fake cordiality, which he actually was, which is really un-Larry-like.
How old is Fushai? How old is that guy?
Let's say 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50. So born in 1970. So, yeah, he was just hot on to, like, in the late 70s and early 80s, New York City comedy scene. He loved Larry David.
It's possible.
Yeah. No, it's not. He was in South Africa. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. He was watching them all on YouTube.
Yeah. The reference is made to Michael's son, Simon, at the party. Larry says, oh, yeah, I met him at the party. I would assume this was another deleted scene here.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be deleted. It could just be – I guess, like, we're supposed to have met Simon probably to understand why Larry is so obnoxious.
He's a potato.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't really make sense.
I saw a potato on Twitter that looks like a person.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was so funny. I showed it to Jen. Her reaction was similar to yours.
Wasn't Mr. Potato?
No, it was just a potato that, like, its folds looked like a face. Whatever. Let's move on. Move past the potato. It was Simon. Right.
It was Simon. Simon the potato. So we cut over to the hotel where the housekeeper is cleaning the bathroom, and she is horrified by the $10 bill. With the most, you know, this is the most offensive thing you can give someone is a wet $10 bill because it's worth only 100% of a non-toilet bill.
This was Funkhauser's position when he gave Larry the sock 50.
Yeah, it's worth the same.
But I know, from as bad as LaGaia is, and her reaction is unnecessary and over the top, she is completely correct to think, oh, this asshole threw that in the toilet on purpose to fuck me over.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a dick thing to do.
The coincidence, kind of a dick thing to do. Okay, whatever, I'll take it.
It's still money.
What? That's the
I $10 is a nice tip. That's his daily tip that he's giving to the housekeeping? That's a good tip.
It's not a good tip when it's in the toilet. It's a fucking.
I'd rather have a wet 10 than a dry one.
It's not wet. It's toilet wet.
It's in wet.
It's not the same.
If it was in the sink, it would be the same.
Okay.
It's wet.
I would rather have no money than a toilet 10. Okay.
So I'm gonna go.
And we know Larry agrees.
Pour all your money into the water, and then I'm gonna take it because you're not gonna want it anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you're
really cool with the toilets and not with the housekeepers.
I think it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, okay. I mean, her reaction is obviously insane, right? A lot of Seinfeld references here in her reaction, of course. She says, you're a bad man, which is what Babu Bat said to Jerry. Clothing thrown out the window, landing in a tree. Of course, that happens in Seinfeld as well with the fur coat, as does the whole concept of going out with a bang. LaGaia loudly and publicly references Jason Alexander's George, which, of course, is actually Larry David's George. We never see LaGaia's consequences, right? Like, she has to be fired, like, with great prejudice.
Well, she was retiring.
Yeah. And then, of course, as Steinbrenner says, of all people, for it to be you, bodysuit man, of all people, for it to be you, employee of the month, LaGaia.
Well, it was a sham, employee of the month. It was because she's retiring. She sucks. She won't even retrieve a lovely guest's glasses from the toilet.
So it wasn't even – it was a career achievement Oscar, not a real one.
Yeah, but, like, not even a good career achievement.
Yeah.
She's clearly not a good housekeeper. She's horrible. Like that.
Yes, but the way we know that is her obnoxious attitude in scene one, not her refusal to help with all the toilet stuff.
Oh, it's a pattern of behavior.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. So, LaGaia, not a fully fleshed out character, let's just say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're in the lobby, and Larry is talking to Michael, and, like, it sounds like everything is all, like, resolved. He's going to send them a check. You know, everyone's happy. Larry's, you know, pretending to be nice. He even agrees that he'll do a Zoom call with the son. And then, you know, he hangs up.
He loves the son.
He loves the son now. He hangs up. He throws his phone down on the chair, which, to begin with, isn't a crazy thing to do in a public space.
With a sarcastic snort.
And, you know, he starts talking to Maria Sofia. And unbeknownst to him, Pachuca has hit the call button on his phone, which is still open. And as Larry starts bad-mouthing Michael and his son and, you know, how he's passing himself as African when he's really South African, and Larry realizes what has happened, picks up the phone, and Michael tells him goodbye. And then we see him rip up his check And Larry has managed to once again pull defeat from the pangs of victory.
And Larry's lawyer should still obviously sue Fouché for his non-payment here.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the type of money we're talking about, then yeah, he's still in breach of contract, even if you were an asshole on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much Fouché wants to litigate the question of whether Brookie is in breach of the cordiality provision.
Yes.
I don't know how much precedent there is on the issue. But yeah, I feel like this is an uphill battle for Fouché. So we close off where Larry and Leon and Leon's not there for some reason. Larry and Maria Sophia are on
We never see Leon again after the party.
Yeah. So yeah, he must have been cut out of something else too. And they're on their way to the airport, but Larry has to stop off at the voting station. That's where he's meeting Auntie Ray to drop off her glasses, which that was the arrangement. Fine.
Yeah. Why did Larry choose Atlanta for this episode in the first place, right? Like, the party for Fouché could have been anywhere. It doesn't have to be Atlanta. It could have easily been in New Orleans. Auntie Ray, last we heard, probably lived in New Orleans or close to there since she was affected by Hurricane Katrina, not Atlanta. So why are we in Atlanta at all for this episode instead of New Orleans?
So once again, Jeff Schaefer says that it's because of the way the episode ends.
The season ends, you mean?
No, because of the way the episode ends. They specifically wanted to make a thing about the Georgia law.
Yeah. I think other states made similar laws also.
And they work backwards from there, basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
So he said something like Larry said, like, what an absurd law. That was like barbaric that they did that. Like, well, let's have me get arrested for violating that law or something. Okay. So we see Auntie Ray standing online, and she's like, oh, I've been out here for 2 hours, and I'm dying out here. I mentioned in the chat that, like, as soon as she said, like, that she was, like, really hot, I'm like, oh, Larry's going to give her water, and it's going to be a thing. Sure enough, the police come. They arrest him for violating this provision of the, controversial Georgia voting law that was passed a couple years ago. And
it's interesting to me that you immediately – saw this coming, and for you, I guess you appreciated more, because I had the opposite reaction. I was like, yeah, it was a big story in 2021, or even maybe more recently than that, when like the court partially struck part of it down or whatever, but like it was not at all a thing I was thinking of in 2024, in our today's modern era, especially like on the MAGA scandals are come and go so rapidly, you can't really keep up with them. So I did not think it merited being the payoff of an episode of Curb, even though the mugshot was very funny. Yeah. And I was kind of, it gave me sort of the weird vibe. Like, normally Curb, the time between when he comes up with an episode and when he releases it is shorter. Here it just seemed too long. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it worked.
So, I don't know. So. I think things, yeah, I don't think, I don't say it worked. I mean, I just knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. You saw it coming. Yeah. I had no idea it was coming.
I wouldn't necessarily say it worked. I thought it was kind of like a lame thing. Because like, No one would get arrested in that situation. Like, that's not, that's not what, I mean, whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't do the whole thing. It's funny though. This is kind of like the opposite of the Seinfeld finale, right? Like, cause he's going to jail for being too nice.
Yeah.
Being a good Samaritan.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's funny.
And the mugshot was great.
Yeah. And we see it all the way through the credits, all the way. I mean, for quite a long time.
That was interesting. That was interesting.
Yes, surprisingly long amount of time to see it. Yeah.
They also, if you recall, in the season premiere last year, they also did like a very unusual ending with they go to the orchestra where they play the theme song.
For like 5 minutes. Yeah. So that's what that's about.
That's that's what they do in season premieres now. They do weird
things. Trying different things out. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, Av, we'll start with you. I think a little more up in the air than me. What is your rating for this episode?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to give this a proper rating because it's like I have to factor into it like the joy I felt watching the episode. Like, I guess that in some ways that's unfair, but like that's just like how it goes.
That's the point of the episode, to give you joy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like this episode is like starting with a 2. Like, and I think it did it enough that I get it up to a 3. I say this episode is pretty, pretty, pretty good. It certainly is not the best episode. There's a lot of issues with it. It kind of just, we mentioned a lot of ways. It just feels very, very disjointed. But I think there was like enough fun stuff there that it's not just, oh my God, Curb is back. Like there was some good bits in there. I thought Larry in particular was very funny in this episode. I think he's just like really center stage for almost all of it. Like Leon doesn't do much. So I guess that's like a little bit of a knock on the episode, but I think Larry picks up the slack a little bit. So overall I say middle of the pack episode. Season premiere is usually going to get somewhat of a bump. Season premiere of the final season, you know, I'm not going to have it lower than a three. So that's kind of where I am.
All right.
I don't think it was hard.
I went through, you know, all my previous episodes that I thought, where am I going to slot this in? And I rank it as the 99th episode of 112 so far. I thought it was disjointed. I thought the editing wasn't great. The continuity, logic, connection between the scenes. We get way too much of Maria Sophia. Not enough of our core cast. Not enough Leon. Barely any Jeff. Barely any Susie. Obviously, you know, Cheryl, Ted, any of those people back in L.A. So 99th would make it only get 1.5 pretties, which seems a little unfairly low to me. But, you know, based on where I have a ranking among other episodes, it is that's where it fell. But it was too harsh for me, so I decided to upgrade it slightly to pretty good. I gave it the 2 full pretties. And the other beneficiary of that is actually Never Wait for Seconds. The episode ranked 1 above it, which now retroactively goes 1.5 pretties to 2 pretties because it can't go, you know, down. So I extended my 2 pretty area by 2 full episodes, basically. Pretty good. That's all I can say. 2 pretties for this episode. Listen, again, that's relative to Curb. I still enjoyed it, and I'm still very excited that we have 9 more.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Be a come with guy.
But who is your come with guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to go with Angie Wei here. So exciting to have her back just in general. We haven't seen her in 5 full seasons, and she was always a delight. But she's, you know, she's coming up with those glasses to save the day. She's standing online for 2 hours in the heat to vote.
And, and she's somebody who appreciates resting. You know that.
She appreciates resting. Yeah. So, you know, she's got all that come with gal energy for sure.
Yeah, you know, when you were just discussing your rating for the episode, you talked about how Larry really carries it. Larry's in all the scenes. And when I was trying to come up with my come with guy, I wasn't really sure where to go. And I was going to go with Larry for that reason. I ended up going with Fouché. Yes, he's a dick, but he did convince Larry and Maria Sophia to come with all the way across the continent. So I'll give him credit for that. So I'll give it to Fouché.
Yeah, with money.
Yeah, well, listen, why do you think Kramer's coming with Jerry all the time? He wants access to those deep pockets. Yeah, when I really have a difficult time coming up with the come with guy, it's usually sort of a bad indicative symbol of how I feel about the episode. And so, yeah.
You're a fucking asshole. That's what you are.
My fucking asshole is LaGaia. Fouché, pretty awful. Maria Sophia, always awful. But LaGaia, and if I feel this way, how much more so are you going to feel this way? Because given your takes on appropriate behavior for the housekeeper. So you tell me who your fucking asshole is.
Yeah, that's a good point. You would think I would go in her direction, but there's a far, far bigger asshole in this episode. They only appear briefly, but I would say the biggest fucking asshole in this episode is the horrible, horrible Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor who forces Larry into a purgatory with this repugnant woman for at least another 6 months just because he can't do his job.
Oh, it's the sponsor's job to keep her. Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah, why is this Larry's responsibility?
Yeah, stop making other people do your job, sponsor. You signed up to be a sponsor, not sponsor.
Yeah, you sponsor. He's trying to foist sponsorship onto Larry.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. Good point. We have no Ted Danson Club, right? Jimmy Kimmel has, as we said, he's been on the show before during the Fatwa season. We don't get any other cameos from recognizable actors.
How far did he get in the in our bracket?
I don't remember. We only did that like a couple weeks ago, but recollection.
He did pretty well.
Oh, pretty well. All right. Is it time for the postman? The first official Kerr postman we've had in quite some time.
Postman! Postman, come here! Tell the neighborhood!
Right,
what a shunda, Larry! Larry David! You're a lousy Jew! But you're a lousy human being! He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair! A shunda!
Maybe you should have given me some candy.
You're a lousy Jew!
Yes, we actually have a new review in the Apple Store.
Oh.
So if you're looking to do something to boost our ratings a little bit, head on over there. You could write one yourself. We'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah, help us beat Jeff and Susie. What have they done?
Yeah. Our rating is down to 4.3 out of 5, so we can use a little bit of a help. But we have one from Bionic Blue.
Bionic Blue.
but without an E at the end. So Bionic BLU.
Okay.
Who wrote Love It. I look forward to it every time I see a new podcast post. Thank you. I'm a huge fan and enjoy others' honest opinions.
Thank you, Blue.
Yeah.
And that's what you get here, honest opinions.
Yes. And now for the more formal postman.
The official postman.
Yes.
We start off with Matt Stewart, who says, I am surprised at how much people didn't like this episode in the pretty good chat. That's true. People were kind of down on it on there.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot, related to a lot of the classic Larry annoyances, and felt the tip of the toilet after talking to her about the glasses in the toilet was funny and reasonable exposition, setting it up the whole way. I also loved having Maria Sophia around. It didn't all come together, but it was fun. Come with guy is Leon. Auntie Ray for getting out to the polls, and was it Leon or Auntie Ray? And lending Larry the glasses. I think he's saying Auntie Ray. He wrote Leon, but I don't know. Sounds like Auntie Ray. Fucking asshole is Michael Fouché. I guess this is how the rich stay rich. But him not paying is insane behavior, and his son is a potato.
Yeah, I mean, true words spoken.
Yeah, I mean, how expensive could school be when your son is a potato?
Yeah. By the way, I have exciting news here for Auntie Ray. Yeah. Now that she – because we each gave her a come with gal nod in season 6, episode 8.
Oh.
And so with her third here now, she has enough to qualify for the next bracket.
Oh, that is very exciting news. Yeah. Because that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to do a third bracket.
She ties Jason Alexander and Crazy Eyes Killa and Shara and John Hamm and so many
legends. She's right up there. All right. Yeah,
Hall of Fame.
And Matt gives the episode 3.5 pretties. Alex Orvitz writes in and says, it was an interesting start to the season. Larry seemed extra unhinged at the start, and I agree that the episode felt disjointed, pre-Atlanta especially. But maybe that's the effect Irma has had on him. I appreciated the mugshot gang, so we'll always be memorable for that. Mm-hmm. Even though this is at least the second time Larry has been involved in voting line shenanigans. Yeah, that's true. We had that in the last episode last year. They agreed to both not vote.
Yeah, I thought something like that was going to happen here. But obviously, I thought he was going to try and tell Auntie Ray not to vote, and she would get mad at him because Auntie Ray is not giving up her right to vote.
And I also like Leon being mean to poor Pachuca. Pretty good. 3 pretties from Alex. Jim Crumley says it was great to have Curve back. While it wasn't the best episode, it was a fine way to set up a few plot lines and kick off the season. The Brookie bit felt a little overcooked, but I did like that Brookie referred to Larry, to LD as Lar. That'll show him. Pretty good. Another 3 pretties for Jim. Fucking asshole is Pachuca. Corgis are quiet, and it's perfect that Maria Sophia has one of QET's favorite dogs. I don't know what this means. Pachuca is a spoiled bitch. Do you know about dogs? I don't know anything about dogs.
No, not really.
Come with guy. I have to go with the chalk pick of Leon. Flying from L.A. to Atlanta just to keep Larry company and make a quick stop to see Annie Ray. What a guy. You know what I mean?
I do know what he means.
I do too. Zach Brooks. Hi, I'm Zach, and my good friends call me Brookie.
Oh.
877 cash now. Irma must be a Renap fan. Do they talk about that on Renap? Maybe that's why
I'm telling you, it's everywhere, baby.
Okay. That's not ringing a bell for some reason. The series stuff is played out, but still cracked me up at Larry's rage. Yes, I agree with that. We also thought like the what's it called? The speakerphone thing. Like we had that with Schwimmer's father, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we had that another time. I feel like that's also like retreaded material.
Sort of with Fouché overhearing the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've done that another time too. That's not coming to mind, but for sure with Schwimmer's dad. Yeah. And he's spot on. Oh, we also had it in the first episode where Larry calls Cheryl a Nazi on speakerphone. So it's not the same thing, but like a similar.
Yeah. Overhearing things. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's spot on about the emotional support dog scam. Larry could solve a lot of problems if he just put a lock screen on his phone. Come with guy. I didn't really know. Nobody really. I guess Cordial Larry gets it. For first, he gets up and grabs everyone's food. Then he brings Auntie Ray some water. Fucking asshole is Maria Sophia. So much asshole behavior. Great first half. Schlocky second. 3.5 per days.
Okay. Pretty good from Zach.
Okay.
Sorry. From Brookie.
Olin Allen writes in. Hey, Avi and Chestery.
Is he not our closer?
He's not.
Oh, yeah. He's closer this week.
He donated the closing role. He gifted it.
So Avi and Alexi, yeah.
Great to have the return. A lot of fun scenes. Would you guess that the Irma Kostrowski jingle she was singing was real or improvised by Tracy Ullman? So I knew it was real.
That's funny because Olin in Ireland, I guess, doesn't know what the fuck JT Wentworth is.
JT Wentworth. Yeah.
So, wait, really, so Olin hasn't seen the Eminem thing either. Or the Renap thing, apparently. Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, I assume
it's never clear which parts
of them, right? Like they're trying to like they're for sure like giving
like Cars for Kids, like, you're saying?
Cents on the dollar. No, Cars for Kids is like a nonprofit. Here it's like,
no,
like
but it's is a huge like scam.
You have a structured settlement. We'll give you cash now. Like they're for sure not giving
But Cars for Kids is like a huge scam.
I know that investigated. Yeah.
Like they're giving whatever. There's if you want to donate your car to actually benefit children, there's lots of charities you can donate your car to. Do not give it to Cars for Kids. And yeah, probably do not call JG Wentworth because they're offering you a bad deal, almost for sure. All
right. These reflect the opinion of Alex Chester. Don't sue the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to Scientology next.
The CYRI heightening irritation. I don't know what. Oh, Siri. You're writing it. You wrote out Siri. Oh, S-I-R-I. Is that how they spell it in Ireland? C-I-R-I? No.
Siri is spelled with. Well, Siri from Survivor is with a C, but then an E.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
C-I-R-I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Siri heightening irritation discussion on butt and dick dials in the routine with Fouché about cordial, including their different pronunciations, was a highlight. The final scene highlights something that always bemuses me, basically linked to the massive industrialization of elections in the United States and the inherent inefficiencies such as those long queues at voting stations. Beaten out in 5 minutes, a peak hour in Ireland with a long ranked voting list to fill out in a complicated multi-seat constituency approach with similar turnout levels. Our only issue is with the horses of public posters on every lamppost during campaigns, though campaign
horses. They got horses during elections? What's that about?
With the horses of public posters. I think horses probably means like a lot.
Oh.
I don't think it's actual horses. I don't know. Hordes, maybe he means. Maybe it's a misspelling. Yeah, I don't know. He wrote horses.
Are they electing horses to public office?
That's their problem. Yeah. So they just elected.
Well, we allow horses in the hospital.
Oh, that was Northern Ireland. Did they elect a horse for the first time? Yeah. Something happened there.
No, the whole classic bit about how Donald Trump is like a horse in the hospital.
Yeah, no, I know that. I'm just saying. Northern Ireland just elected somebody Catholic for the first time or something. I don't even know.
So you're comparing Catholics to horses? These do not reflect the opinions of the podcast?
No, it just happened this week. Mm. So I said maybe they also just elected a horse for the first time.
Mm. Oh, I got it. Okay. In Northern Ireland, it goes man, horse, woman, Catholic, then Jew.
No, Jews definitely last everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, wouldn't be pretty good without some political digression. Come with Gal is Maria Sophia, creating another massive success for Larry, being so charming and cordial and a cute little emotional support friend. Yeah. The fucking asshole is the woman who grabs the waiter to pass on overlong condolences while he is holding someone else's food. Not thinking of others could surely grab him on the way back or tell
for sure.
Him.
Great point. Great point by Omar.
At a better
great
moment.
Point. Yes. Great
you
point.
Could, right. Deliver the food and come back.
Yeah. It's not Betty's fault. He's in mourning. It's the mourner mourning at the wrong time.
Yeah. He gives the episode 3.5 pretties, lots of laughs and good rhythm, just not wrapped up the best, but upper tier quality overall, hopefully continues to outperform seasons 10 and 11, which are the two lowest seasons for me. And we end off with John Gormley. He's been killing it in the chat.
What a promotion.
Olin said he wanted to keep it within the country. So let's not get crazy here. He's not just giving this out to anyone. John says, hello, Alex and Av. Great to have Kerr back on screen again. Fairly packed season premiere. Few questions I had going in were regarding why would Larry still be with Irma, which got answered, but I'm still confused at the timeline. The season takes place at the end of 2023, as shown in the calendar. Oh, that's true. We did see that.
It showed not only the month, but the year.
Yes, I actually do remember that.
Gorlami again with the save.
Yeah, I remember because it started in October 2023. I was like, excellent. Good calendar page.
Yes.
Season 11 took place in 2021, as mentioned a few times. And there's been over a full season of Young Larry since. This far exceeds any six-month time span Larry would have had to stay with Irma.
John is really killing it here. Great point.
Perhaps she was in a terrible state for 2 years and is now only staying with her for 6 months after she is clean. That would also make it more his responsibility. But I don't feel like at the end of season 11, Larry...
He's looking to get out as quickly as he can.
Yeah, he's not staying with her for 2 more years voluntarily.
Did she drop off of the city council? I forget.
I don't remember.
Because even though she missed the vote, why can't she introduce another vote?
Yeah, I mean, we did just do a recap of the whole series, so we should know this, but yeah. I did that only from memory. So he says, lots went into on this episode with a lot of setup, as is typical with the season premiere. The best part of the episode was Larry screaming at Siri and dropping the $10 bill in the toilet. Dropping it in was funnier than the maid discovering it, as the joke had pretty much been told when it fell in. I felt the camera angles were a bit different than usual. Could be my imagination, but it looked a lot more movie-style cinematography. I did not notice that. I don't know if you did.
Not sure. I don't think so.
Okay. He says that the girl called Allie, who was a huge Maria Sofia fan. Yes, he says, I'm Allie. I'm your number one fan. She says she is played by a girl called Chase O'Donnell, who has worked on the crew of the show for the last few seasons. She's posted a few behind-the-scenes photos on Insta over the years. Apparently, her character had more recorded, which got cut, including taking Leon's pre-eaten slice of cake and watching a speech given by the South African with Larry. Both she shared a few two-second shots of on her Instagram. Interesting. Okay, so anyone can check that out on her Instagram if you want to see a little deleted scenes. Overall, I enjoyed most of the episode, but felt it was stripped down a bit. That if it was stripped out a bit, we'd have had more time to flesh out the parts that worked. New Curb sometimes lacks the space for a gag to breathe, as they do so many scenes and plots per episode, which works at times but can be an obstruction at other times. Very well said. Would give it 3 pretties out of 5. Come With Gal has to be anti-Ray. Great to see her return full of spirit. No word on whether Loretta survived the cancer, though. Fucking asshole is the restaurant manager who made the server come into work 3 days after his mom died.
Okay, that's 2 straight episodes. Pretty good. Where John got to be the final postman, right? Because he was also the final one last week.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
So our audience overall gave it a 3.25, which together with my 3, your 2, that rounds out to a 2.75, making it the 82nd ranked episode. So certainly below average. I guess right between where me and you. Pretty much a little bit closer to me, but pretty much right in the middle. Not the best, but I feel like we've had a number of those with premieres. Premieres are always table setters. So hopefully there's still great stuff to come.
Yeah.
Don't you hate to be continued on TV? I mean, the whole reason you watch a TV show is because it ends. If I wanted a long, boring story with no point to it, I have my life.
Well, next week we have an episode called The Lawn Jockey. And maybe we should watch the next week on so we have a few seconds of a hint of what might be happening.
My suggestion is that you cut out dairy from your diet.
It's all I eat.
I know it's hard. I had to give up Marcona almonds.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So do you know who this guy is that Larry's talking to in jail?
No, yeah. So is Larry in jail? That's question number one.
Yeah, he's clearly in jail. Yeah.
Okay. And why is Larry in jail?
He was just arrested at the end of the last episode. What do you mean, why is he in jail?
So that's like I thought it was just sort of like, okay, the cops arrested, but they don't put him in jail. I don't think you go to jail for that law.
I mean, I don't think he's in jail like he's been sentenced. I think he's being held in jail because he was arrested that day.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And so who's this gentleman who's in jail with him?
I don't know, but you recognize the actor? I don't.
Oh, no, I don't. No. A fellow election integrity destroyer of Georgia.
could be.
No work on my birthday.
Oh, what is that, a national holiday?
It's a sacred day for Jeff and me.
What a thing to go through. You have to think about another person. It's just terrible.
Yeah. Saints, listen. This man is an inspiration.
Now, hold on a second.
Yeah, so where is he?
So this man is an inspiration. Is Larry almost like when all the Jews think that he intentionally went up to the baptism?
Yeah.
Do these African-American voters in Georgia think that Larry did this on purpose?
Right. It was an act of defiance, right? Yes. He's protesting the law.
Okay, so this pastor says, Saints, listen, calls everyone together. So presumably we're back in Atlanta because Auntie Ray's here.
What's up? Inspiration.
Where are Susie and Jeff? They're in Atlanta too? Or does Larry go back to LA and then back to Atlanta in this episode?
Yeah, that's a lot of travel for one episode.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I guess maybe that could happen first. The trailer's just out of order.
Yeah, now lawn jockeys, the episode is called The Lawn Jockey, are sort of considered a racist thing, right, these days.
What does that term even mean? I never heard of that.
A lawn jockey is like a little lawn jockey that people, like, it's a little statue of a jockey that people put in their lawns.
Oh, okay.
Hence the name.
Got it.
Lawn jockey.
I'm not familiar with that term.
A lawn jockey is a statue depicting a man in jockey clothes intended to be placed in front yards as a hitching post, blah, 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 blah. Yes, but it's considered racist, basically. Yeah, although, interestingly enough, it says this is all from Wikipedia, by the way. So,
I'm against it.
Yeah. It says, apocryphal accounts of the figure's origin portray the statue as representing a hero of African-American history and culture. There's a common story that the black lawn jockeys are a recreation of a black boy who served George Washington in the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War. The story says the boy named Jocko Graves was left behind as Washington considered it too dangerous for him to cross the Delaware River with the men. Graves then died in the cold while tending to the men's horses, frozen with a lantern in his hand. But hold on, Av. According to the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, this legend is not corroborated by historical records.
Oh, man.
Another story popularized by American historian Charles Bloxon posits that the figures were used on the Underground Railroad to guide escaping slaves to freedom. In that case, it seems like these would be heroic lawn jockeys. I don't know why they'd be racist. But terrible news for you. Claims of an association with the Underground Railroad have not been corroborated by other historians.
That's very sad to hear.
So, yeah. So it seems like it's just racism because racism was fun for most of the history of the world and still is for lots of people. Yeah. So on that note, we'll be back next week with some lawn jockeys.
On the note of racism is fun.
Yes. Again, not the opinions of Alex, just... Yeah, but I'm hoping that we're flying to L.A. Susie's got another colorful outfit. Altogether, I'm very confident that next week will be.
Pretty, 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 pretty good.
Get a life, Jews.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
I have an annuity, but I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW. 877-CASH-NOW.
They have thousands, they'll help you too.
One lump sum of cash they will pay to you.
Get long-term payments, but you need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
But please don't actually call. Or at least, if you're doing so, please do not do so because you think this is an endorsement.